I've been asking everyone, and everybody gives me a different answer, at least three different things. What do you call these? What do you call these? A what? A cat. Okay, a hat. Okay, okay. A Weisenheimer. Okay, what else? Watering pitcher. What? A watering can. Some people call it watering buckets. What? Spout. Watering jug. Okay, all these things, but most people seem to be in disagreement about what to call them. But you know what this is. It's a watering pitcher. And all of you guys are, you should at least take one. Miyoung has three next to her. I don't know what that means. She has three members in her family, okay? So that's why, okay? And as part of the illustration, today is going to be a very different sort of a message because I can guarantee you right now, it's a short sermon, okay? Okay? And it's not a joke. Part of it is because we're ending today with sharing time. I've asked five people to prepare, okay? It's for people to prepare to say something already. That said, I would love for the rest of you to take this when other people share, for you to take that as kind of like, you know, they're just kind of like getting the ball rolling a little bit. And if you feel like God's putting something in your heart to share something, to encourage the church, encourage a community, our 5 years together as a church, it says something. And I would love for you guys to take that chance to share something, maybe that immediately set something up in your mind to share something that God's already prompting. I told you I grew up in a charismatic setting, so I would people would always be at these retreats or at these worship services, and it says, if the Holy Spirit's planting that little seed of desire, and if you feel your heartbeat just getting a little bit faster, if you feel like God has done something in your life, you better say something right now, because you must give witness to that. Okay, so I'm not saying that as much as if you feel like God is putting something in your heart, and even if it's short, I would love for you, and especially if it is short, I would love for you to share, because I want to hear from as many people as possible. Pastor Sam and I And some of the people have the privilege. We have this amazing privilege to be able to share with you God's word in the context of what's going on in our lives. And we get to share with you guys, and I think you guys actually like that part, that we share with you guys our lives. And I would love for that to be done as well. Now, I got to get to the message really quickly because I haven't even gotten to the message and I'm already like 5 minutes into this. So if I'm not going to break my promise, then I need to get into the message. The text today is from Psalm 27, and Psalm 27 is kind of long, so don't count it toward the time of my message. But it is a beautiful, beautiful psalm, and I'm going to leave out just verses 7 through 10 to shorten it for today, but I think it'll be, it'll still say the entire thing. Read the entire thing when you have the time. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I was thinking a little bit about the need for guidance and sometimes some coaching, possibly, in different areas of our lives. I mentioned back a couple of weeks ago that our kids were participating in a t-ball program run by the city. And I've been impressed by the guy who's coaching this program and his ability to break down things in such a way so that kids can actually understand and follow. And most parents, when we try to teach our kids to play sports or do anything of that sort, I think we basically say something like, at least I do, something like, now throw or swing. And we show them, we kind of just do it in our own motion and say, do it like this. But there's just so much assumed in those very simple comments, these seemingly simple things. But a coach, a guide, is able to break those things down, point out the right things to remember so that kids can actually develop good habits and learn the right way of doing things, right? And by the way, you kind of already know where I'm going with all this coaching and guidance and picking up good habits and bad habits stuff, right? But developing good habits are hard enough, but most of us have to break bad habits too, right? And we pick up bad habits really, really fast. There was a point when the coach turned to Lucy and said something like, whoa, princess, who taught you to throw like that? And he wasn't kind of being, he wasn't being complimentary, you know? And Lucy kind of, I could just sense, I'm like, don't look this way, don't. She kind of glances my way, and I'm feeling I have to be honest. So I say, her mommy, you know, and no, I didn't say that. But seriously, I was thinking, wouldn't it be great, you know, having coaches like this to be able to break things down in your life? You know, I love to bike a lot, but I'm always reading up on coaches, and I would love for somebody to tell me, your form is awful, you know, and tell me how to do better. I was trying to teach my kids chess, because Lucy started kindergarten, and there were kids at school that already knew how to set up a chessboard, so I felt all this pressure. I'm like, I have to teach my kids chess, but I'm going, oh my goodness, I'm awful at chess. I'm going to teach my daughter how to play chess in an awful way. But wouldn't it be great if there were guides? Wouldn't it be great if you had guides in your life and more difficult things, even as grown-ups, maybe not for games and sports, but for other areas of your life that you sometimes find, you know, difficulties with trying to figure out what to do? You know, wouldn't it be great to have a guide for dating, you know, for the singles that are out there? You know, wouldn't that be great? You know, just like, no, not that one. Go out with the other one. I know it doesn't seem like that guy is as, you know, exciting and all that stuff, but that's the right one. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great, you know? Or when you get into arguments with your spouses, with your husband, with your wives, and just at the moment when you're going to say something like, you know, what you just did just reminds me so much of your mother. You know, just as you're about to say something like that, the guide comes in and says, listen, don't go there. Don't do that. No. This is what you should say. Let's just say, uh-huh. Okay, I understand. So you feel frustrated by how I acted. Something like that. You know, wouldn't it be great to have guides? We make decisions all the time, right? We make career decisions. We make time management decisions. We make financial decisions all the time that can have lasting consequences. And some of us, we know that some bad decisions can be so damaging. Some bad decisions can have a lasting impact that you find yourself having to fix over a much longer period of time than that simple act of making a foolish decision, right? Wouldn't it be great to have a reliable expert who could be our guide through all the regrets and the bad decisions if we only had a guide in our lives, right? The scriptures, of course, tell us that there is a guide. One of the main themes throughout the Psalms, and you have seen this even in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. is that he is our guide. He leads us. He's a coach. He knows what he is doing much better than us in such a way that he can lead our lives. He asks us to follow. The first followers of Christ were indeed called followers of Christ. They weren't called Christians until a little bit later, but even Christians, the actual literal way for us to understand what that is somebody who follows Christ, right? I gave a sermon long time ago that some of you guys have heard about rabbis and their disciples. And the whole point of having disciples, the disciples were people who literally would follow in the dust steps, in the footsteps of the rabbi. So we've been called to follow. There is somebody who is leading us. In Psalm 27, there's another metaphor that's used. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my light and my salvation. Real quickly, who wrote Psalm 27? David, because why? How do you know that? What? It says, it's because it's a Psalm of David. That's the best answer. Exactly. It says so. It says Psalm of David. So I imagine when David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," he's not just speaking metaphorically. I imagine him to be spending some time in the wilderness. This is a wilderness period in his life. He's going through tough times. He's going through times in which he doesn't know where to step. He doesn't know how to move forward. And God is guiding him by being a light. Right? Imagine being out in the wilderness, hiding out, and God becomes a light for him and says, "You come here." It harkens back to the times for the people of Israel, to the times in which the nation of Israel was founded through the time of Exodus, in which God led them at night through a pillar of fire. Through a pillar of fire. Light for the ancients is not just a source for us to see things better, but in many ways, because imagine, it's in the ancient times, light wasn't used so much so that you could work late at night. Right? But the light was used so that you can see that there is a place that you're supposed to head toward. There's a place, a center in which your life is being held. And that a light that guides you is an important and a powerful metaphor. And that becomes my salvation. The Lord is my light that guides me in my life, that leads me in my life. And he is, because of that, he is my salvation. And we follow the light. This is an important theme throughout. God is constantly guiding us. He's constantly leading us. He's helping us to choose the right path. And sometimes we don't even know it. Sometimes we don't even recognize it, but God is still guiding us. You know, Pastor Sam talked about how God has guided us about the past 5 years and talking about this, looking at our church. It's so, you look around a little bit. Look, this is our church. Look at the people who are gathered around. Don't be afraid to look around. You won't be strange if you look around. If you looked around when nobody else was looking around, that would be a little bit strange. But if you look around now, it would be fine. Look around. We are no longer a church with a one single strand story. We're people from many, many different backgrounds, many different church backgrounds. And we've come together, and God has led us here. God has brought us here to this place. And we celebrate that. We celebrate the ways in which God has guided us. Celebrate the ways in which God has already been our guide. And we're called to now see something together, as God is drawing us to see something further on, as he guides us into the future as well, as Pastor Sam talked about. That's what we're gathered for. The three things that I want to really touch upon really quickly, as we talk about, well, what is this, how do we learn to follow God's lead better in our lives? Well, first thing we're called to do in Psalm 27, that we're taught to do, is that we're called to trust Him with our entirety of our heart. We're called to trust Him with our heart. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear, it says. God is going to be our guide. We're called to trust now. God is going to be a guide. That's a promise. We're called to trust Him with the entirety of our heart. It is one thing to trust something or someone in theory, right? But it's another thing to trust that person or trust that thing and actually hang your life on it in practice. Many of us trust God in theory, but we have never allowed ourselves to depend on Him with our lives. It is one thing to check off the mark Christian in our religious preference, in our Facebook account, or whatever else. But to find your sense of confidence in Him with our whole being, to find in Christ the comfort of your heart, where your fears disappear, as David says, that is another thing. Max, our little one, for some reason, actually both of them have this enormous fear of water. And I've been trying to teach them to swim. Max hates water. In fact, he protests every time he tried to wash his face. That's why his face is so dirty all the time. And we went swimming during the time that we were in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, and we went swimming, and I said, Max, and he was holding on to me a little bit, I said, Max, look at me, do you trust me? And he said, yes. And then I would try to get into the water, and every time I tried to get into the water and let go of him, he would just latch on like with hooks, like a koala hangs onto a eucalyptus tree. He knows how to trust me in theory, but in practice, this is a whole nother story. He has trust issues with me. Most of us, far too many of us, trust God in theory, but we don't trust God in practice. How would you know? How would you know that you're doing that? Because most of us believe that we're trusting God in theory and in practice. Well, ask yourself, in what ways are you placing yourself in places where, because you are being faithful, because you are following God's will, you have no other safety net? Yes, you can place yourself in places in which there is no other place, nothing else to do because of your sin, because of our own sinfulness, because of our own recklessness, but I'm not talking about these situations. But are there situations because you have decided to be more grace-giving to someone? Because you have decided to be more generous, because you have decided to be more honest, because you have decided to be more committed to being loving to somebody else, even loving your enemy. Because you decided to be more trusting of God with your future plans. That you have placed yourself in which God, and not you, not your own wittiness, not your own ability to make good decisions, not your ability to control the situation, is the only source of your confidence. When was the last time you put yourself in that sort of a place? Which is why sometimes, and we've been talking about this throughout the Psalm series, we need hardships in our lives so that we can let go of those kind of controls, desire to control things in our lives. And when you come out on the other side of that sort of wilderness experience in which you find yourself trusting in God and learning to trust God, not just in theory, but in practice as well, you come out, as David says, with praise on your lips. I think one of the stories, at least one of the strands of the stories that we're going to hear, will be stories like that from some of the people about how they had to put their trust in God. They found themselves placing their trust in God, and how God has been faithful and led them because of that. The second thing, so we need to trust Him with our whole heart. Second thing is we need to trust Him to know better. We need to trust God to know better. We need to trust God to know better than who? Everybody say me. Don't even say us or ourselves. Don't try to diffuse that. Just say me. Not me. Just say we need to trust that God knows better than me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do you put God in the central position of your life? Do you put God in the advisory role of your life? You need to trust that God's righteous path is also the right path for you. You need to believe and trust with your whole heart that God's righteous path, the path of faith, the path of grace, the path of forgiveness, the path of hospitality and grace and generosity and unto others, all these ways that Jesus Christ has taught us, you need to trust that that path is also the right path for you. Maybe you can say, I trust him with my whole heart, and you emotionally even find him to be your safety, but you don't find him to be smarter than you. You don't find him to know better than you. What do you call that when you trust somebody to make you feel safe, but you don't trust that that person is smarter than you? You know, that's called a puppy. It's called a pet. Pets make you feel good about yourself, but you don't really think that they know better than you, right? Is God your pet? Now, so how do you know? How do you make decisions then? The question is, how do you make decisions? Well, does it start with your desires? Does it always start with your desires and what you want out of life, what you want out of the situation, what you want out of a setting? Or do you also start, do you ask by asking God, what is your desire for me to do? What is your desire for me to do in this setting? I guarantee you, those two questions will land you in two very different places. If you start off by saying, God, help me with this, that I already decided what I want to do. Now you help me with this. Help me meet my desires. Help me fulfill my desires, my goals, my plans. Bless me. Bless this. Bless me. Or do you start out, if that's your main way, that's going to take you in a different direction. But if you start out by asking the other question, saying, God, what is your will? What is your desire in this situation? And how can I be part of that? I guarantee you it will land you in two very different places. Apostle Paul says, look, you know, he says like this in a different context. He says, look, everything is permissible. And sometimes we think, as long as it's not sinful, as long as it's legal, as long as it's not completely unethical or whatever else, then we ought to do it, and then God ought to just bless it. But Apostle Paul says it the other way. He says, look, everything is permissible in Christ. Everything is permissible. And when he says everything, he means everything. But not everything is beneficial. Just listen. Just because everything is permissible, just because everything is not a, what you're thinking about is not a sin, doesn't mean it's the best decision for you. Pastor Sam talks about it like this. He said, look, we're not talking about good or bad decisions always. The challenge in Christian life is often to think about it in terms of a good decision, a perfectly legal, not sin sort of a decision versus a better decision, a better way of living a life, a better path that God is calling us to. And I think we will also hear stories of God knowing better. That we, of people saying stories of how they thought they knew the better way, but indeed they were able to trust that God knew the better way. And I hope if you have any of these stories of your own, I would love to hear it. I would love for you to encourage us with these stories as well. So first, we need to trust God with our whole heart. Second thing is we need to trust that he knows better than me. And third, we need to trust his timing. It says, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. I've been learning a lot personally in my life about just how waiting, I think this is one of the most important ways in which the Holy Spirit's been impressing upon my heart. Time's up. No. I think the rice is cooked. I think that's what that means, okay? So waiting as one of the most important ways in which God's teaching me as important ways of trusting him. And how hard that is for us. I had occasion to meet with like four different people on this past Friday, and I find myself saying the same thing, repeating the same thing, and not just repeating the same thing all the time, but giving the same advice of, you know, I think God is teaching you to be patient. And I think that's a very, very important lesson for all of us to learn. And maybe that's something that God is teaching you to trust in his timing. I came to church this morning and I saw this. Pastor Sun said, look, these are what the kids planted, the little flower seeds that they planted 2 weeks ago at VBS. And I remember seeing pictures of them planting seeds. And I remember thinking, oh, that's not going to go anywhere. I'm thinking, I don't know what sort of plant, but I just don't, you know, I was just really, I really, really thought that. That's not a joke. I really thought that's not going to go anywhere. And I don't know what Sun did, what miraculous love she gave toward the flowers and prayer and the watering she did. But, you know, here it is. Here it is. I keep on telling you guys about the apple tree that we have in our yard, right? And how for about a year and a half, it did nothing. And everybody was curious to know, what sort of a plant is this? We had no idea what it was. Sometimes I think it's like that in our lives. We have these seeds planted in our lives, and God says, hey, I planted a seed in your life. And then he says, do you trust me? And I says, yes. Then I cling on like a koala. No, I go, yes. So can you make it grow right away? I said, no, not right away, in my time. So I water it some. Okay, the leaves come out, but still no fruit. Nothing. This tree's not bearing fruit. So what do you do with that? Do you dig? And maybe at the root there would be some apples hanging by the root or something, and then you'll find out that it's an apple tree? Or do you just abandon it? Do you lose hope? And say, look, it didn't show up. After 3 months of doing this, every day we watered it, and every day we gave it sun. We were faithful to it, but it didn't show up. Or do we trust in the gardener? Do we trust in the one who planted the seed? Do we trust the one who says, I am planting these seeds in you? And you can trust in that, but you will have to trust my timing. You will have to be patient. Or do we demand that God makes the fruit appear? Do we demand that God makes things happen in our own time? I'm not doing this to make you guys feel guilty. I'm actually doing this, I'm saying this so that you might feel a greater sense of courage. You might feel a greater sense of trust that what you're doing when you're being faithful and watering the plant that God has given you. And I told you at the very beginning, I joked with you, this is to remind you. And this is a gift. I know this is like a lame, you know, if you think about it, it could either be a real lame five-year gift if it was given to your wife for the five-year anniversary, or it could be a real meaningful reminder, hopefully. And I do ask that you remind yourself that trusting in God, one major component of that is to trust in his timing. Trust in that. I think we're going to hear stories like that too. I want to invite at this point, I'll call them out by name. Lots of people are sharing. So, but I want to invite Gene and Lucy because you guys are closest. to kind of share their stories. And, you know, let me tell you something. I asked six people, including you guys aren't one person, six people to share their stories of how God has been guiding you, growing you in the past 5 years through Cross Community Church, to encourage the church of what God has been doing in your life. And every one of them, not a single person hesitated for even a second. Every one of them just said, yes, absolutely. And I was just so encouraged by that. Not because they said yes to me and it made my life easier, but really because I heard that as a sign of, wow, God has been doing something in their lives. They didn't have to think about it in terms of whether or not God has been doing something. So I'm really encouraged. Again, I'm opening up the mic to everyone as well after the people. And if you have stories, I would love to hear from you as well as an encouragement for the church. So Gene and Lucy, let's give them a hand as they're courageously come on up here in a purple shirt nonetheless. So
why are you going there? I wrote it down so it's easier. Going through the different outreaches that we've been doing at church, we have learned a lot about not just ourselves, but about the people here at church. Whether it's going through praying for the missionary team that just got back or went, seeing how they're being used on the mission trips, us participating with other people at our church through the outreach of local nonprofit groups, it's really pushed both of us individually, as a couple as well, to serve, because you know we can easily get lapsed into our daily lives. Then we see people wanting to give more than what they have, to spend time with people, and that encourages us to take stock of what we do and we participate. And it's been challenging, to say the least. Also with small groups, we realize that seeing people on Sundays, it's the, hi, how are you doing? Fine. How was your week? Good. You know, there and forth. But going through small groups and spending time meeting new people, meeting old people, we get to open up and we get to learn about everyone's struggles. And those are real times for us that we get to feel close to people and to really feel connected to each other. And I think that's just one example of how churches provide us something for us to grow individually and as a couple. Last couple of years we've been through a lot of personal struggles with fertility and with having to have a family, but now we've been blessed, not just because we're soon to be family, but we've been listening to others' struggles and hearing them and knowing that we're not alone. You know, it's helped us. Personally, for me, when my mom passed away in 2008, it was hard for me being an only child. I didn't have really anyone to turn to. Pastor Jim was actually the first one I called. And, you know, he calmed me down. He said, okay, I'll help you. You know, I'll call the airline. So the next person, I called my dad, told him what happened. But what really surprised me was the outreach and the support of people here at church. I got a lot of calls. Friends from here actually went to the funeral. And just that made me realize that these are not just people that we know at church every Sunday. It's just we have connections, you know. And going through that, it just helped me think forward, you know, with Lucy and getting married. We can't just put ourselves and focus on ourselves. We got to focus on God. And we're at fault, too, because, you know, you get married, you cut off your family, you cut off your friends, and just spend time with each other and have fun and see our parents once every 2 months or so. But we realize that there's friends here that we have, and relationships that we have, and we have to focus on those too, because it's so easy to lapse and just focus on each other and have fun and still be in that newlywed period, I guess. But going through the opportunities that we have at church, whether small groups or outreach or celebrating 5 years together, it really helps us really appreciate all the things that church has for us. So we're thankful.
Thank you. Lucy did promise to, she just wanted to be the supportive wife in this situation, so thank you for that. I'm going to ask April, who's also newlywed, really a newlywed, and April Pack No More, but April Kim, and I'm going to ask her because she also wanted to share.
Hello, it's April Kim, yes. oh my God. I just wanted to say a couple of things. First, that these years at Cross Community has been awesome. It's been such a blessing for me just to be a part of a growing church and a church that's started from a bigger church, and now it's like really small, but we've grown so much. Like, I think our heart has been so, like, it's been challenged, and I don't know, I guess one thing I'm reflecting, and one thing our church I feel like has in our hearts is so much commitment and faithfulness. I mean, I think you guys can all agree when you guys see each other, we've, like, all of us have been serving in so many different ways, and I'm just so amazed how consistent it is, and I think God sees that, and I think some of us sometimes it's discouraging sometimes because you don't get to see that, you know, apple, you know, but it's in that period where I feel like God is like showering water and shining on us, and like I just feel like, you know, I want to say to you guys, you know, be encouraged, because I try to look at that, you know, it's like I think you have to have an open mind and heart and let your spirit really speak to you that way, you know, and but I wanted to thank all of you guys for being a part of the service and a part of being committed, whether it's children's or providing food or even tech team, like the background, you know, sound and everything, and that's definitely one thing I've been so blessed to witness from you guys. And another thing that I've been enjoying so much at Cross is definitely my small group. I've, like, been so blessed to be a part of Alice and Mike's family, and their house has become my house. Like, even when we were, like, when I was getting married and preparing, oh my gosh, Rachel will tell you, like, I was there, like, every day knocking on her door, like, Rachel, help me with crafts, Rachel, you know, and, like, she's been such a helpful friend, and seriously, like, I've been so touched just by their generosity and just opening their home up and us having girl talk there, and we need some guys in our small group. So if you guys want to join, our small group is awesome. And, like, I always look forward to going to small group, not just because my friends are there, but because my family's there, you know, to learn from. Like, I've learned so much from Alice and Mike, just even their stories and their advice. It's really given me a lot of wisdom, even for my own relationship and my marriage with Paul. And just the support I've always gotten from them. I'm kind of, you know, I wish I could give you guys more back, but yeah, I mean, small group has definitely been something I've been blessed with, and I encourage all you guys to, of course, join a small group too. It's just a time to share, and I think that's the biggest thing we can give each other, is to really share each other's lives. And, you know, sometimes we think someone will share to me and I'll be the listener, but I think even sometimes the bigger thing to do is to share your life to someone else, because that becomes, you know, a gift to that person. And that's what I've received from my small group, and it's really changed my heart and my view about church. And because before, I used to think church had to be a certain way, you know, like with programs and things and stuff, and I'm realizing that's not what it's about at all. It's just about being here together and worshiping and singing together, you know, side by side. And and even for people I've only known from 1 year to 10, one, like, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, seriously, I've known some of you guys for, like, maybe 1 month or a couple months, 1 year, and, like, 10 years. Like, it's kind of awesome to see the different kinds of relationships I can have, and what I can gain from, like, your life stories and just your presence, even. So that has definitely been another blessing. And the last thing, of course, is that you guys all know that I'm leaving to Georgia. So Paul and I, Paul is, if you guys didn't know, in San Antonio doing officer training right now. So he's not with me for like the next 2 months still. And he'll be back September 20th, but we'll be leaving September 22nd. But I just, I guess, wanted to leave you guys with just gratitude and just a blessing to you guys and just an encouragement to do what you guys have been doing, but more to each other, and to, I think, make an imprint on each other's lives is the biggest gift. And I think through that, we've really grown together as a church. And if you guys do not see that in your lives, then maybe it's your turn to do that to someone next to you, or, you know. So I just want to, I guess, leave with that. Please pray for Paul and me. And if you guys are ever in Augusta, Georgia, holla. And, you know, say hi to us. And, oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to say one more thing. You guys all know I've been with children's ministry, actually. I really wanted to, I guess, take this moment to thank all the teachers as well. It's been so awesome serving with you guys. Like, we've been through so much. Like, you guys know, from, like, the small little hotel to, like, the little space, you know, right here by John Wayne. And now here, we've really, like, we've changed so much. And our kids now are not kids. Some of them are, like, turning into men and women of God. And they've really grown so much. And I'm just so blessed to see how they've been growing as well. Just even this year, them going to missions, it's just such a gift to me to see that. It's like, wow, like, I can't believe they're stepping up to do that. And I'm, you know, going to be continuing to pray for you guys. I'm going to miss you guys so much, and I hope that just the energy grows there, and whether it's one or two kids or 10, 20, 30 kids, I hope and pray that, you know, God will continue to just show you guys his, you know, awesomeness, his glory in that place, and Pastor Sun, I'm really blown away by your commitment and faithfulness. And we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. We love you, and we pray that you'll continue to grow as a pastor here. And I guess, oh, and so the last thing finally is that I wanted to say, this verse comes to mind. It's a verse that I've held into my heart, and it represents all of you guys. And it is in Proverbs, and it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your heart and write them in the tablet of your heart. So with that, I go, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Kim. All right. Person that we don't hear from too often, because he tends to be a little bit quieter personality, but I really did want to hear from it, is Ray. So Raymond Arevalo, or Rebalo, I can never say his last name, but he agreed to speak.
Spell it. Okay, well, first of all, I just want to make one slight correction. He asked me, and I said, sure. I was kind of wondering what I was going to say, and basically, for those of you who've seen it on our Facebook page, you know that one of my sister's sons was in a head-on collision. Right now, last time I heard, he's critical but stable. But they are worried he's got an infection, which may lose one of his legs. So that's kind of where he's at. But the reason why I would tell you that is because the only reason I know this is because the past couple years, since I was out of work for 2.5 years, I actually went back to Texas and reconnected with some of my family. So my niece, the newspaper, is the one who's keeping me informed. So I would never have known that if I would have, you know, lost my job, lost my house, had to downsize, move 4 times. I would have never have known that. So one thing I want to say is that what I've learned is that no matter what I've asked when I pray, is it always comes out to, okay, you know what you're doing, I don't. That's the only thing I can say. I know he knows what he's doing. I have no idea. And I have no idea what the future holds for me, who knows? And I do want to mention that I do think the church is evolving in a nice little path since I've been here. It's kind of interesting to see. And who knows where it's going to end up, but it should be good. Okay. See? I'm short. I made up for her.
Thank you. All right. Where's Kayla? Kayla is also going to share. She's been through so much, and I think she also has some good news as well, but whatever it is, just thank you so much for sharing.
I wrote a piece of paper, but I don't think I'm going to go according to it. Because I think Cross has been amazing, I have to say. I was going to give my whole testimony, but then I'll just take forever. So I just want to say that my walk with God was formed here at Cross Community Church. Pastor Jim baptized me. I accepted Christ 2004 of October. So I don't know. It's been really amazing being here. I think one of the things that I've learned to be my foundation of my walk with God is that to be loved and to love other, meaning in loving comes service. And I learned how to serve. I learned how to receive. And I think that, you know, the Ecclesiastes study during the summer has always been in my heart. Whoever was in that study, I would always say, just embrace the moment. Everything will pass, bad or good, just embrace the moment. Right now is good. I learned that, you know, I don't know, I'm kind of nervous right now. So, I don't know, like, so service is something that I really try to bring out into my life, my work, and all that I do. I tried, it really helped me to not think about what I will gain from doing things, whether it be work or doing things at church. Like, what am I going to gain from this? You know, it's not about what I'm going to gain from it, but about what does God really want for me? You know, I think God has blessed me with hands and feet, being healthy, and give me the talents and gifts that I have. Like, what does he really want out of all of these things? And so through pondering and through just, like, being here at Cross Community Church, you know, we always talk about, it's not about you, it's not about you. It really got in my head, and it's really not about me. Even with work, I mean, I've worked for 8 months, unpaid. And there's a lot of times, I know that I've complained to my friends and my family about doing that, but I really took that in as, you know what, I'm serving. Whether it be church or outside of that, it's really God giving me the ability and giving me the time to do all these things. And I'm really, you know, I'm really thankful that Cross instilled that in me, because if it wasn't for this community, for all the relationships that I've built here, I don't know where I would be. I think I was talking to someone here the other day. What would I be like if I didn't have this? What would I be like if I was not Christian? And, yeah, so I'm really grateful for everyone, for the relationships. I think the relationships definitely that have really forged me to challenged me in my walk with God. So, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, I'm
It's kind of amazing for me because, like, Kayla was just such a shy, shy person that she could barely, like, talk to me before, but now she's talking like this in front of people. So, last of our prepared people, but hopefully others as well might join us as well, is somebody that actually loves to talk a lot, but we've not heard from her here too much. So I'm going to ask Son, or Pastor Son, as our kids love to call her. So Pastor Son, to share with us.
All right. I do love to talk. So this might be a little longer. Forgive me. But looking back when Pastor Jane asked me this question, looking back in the past 5 years is kind of very interesting. And looking back, I was in a very different place. I was a student. I had just made a big career move, and things were just new, and I really didn't know where things were going to go. So just looking back at how much Cross has supported me through this, I think this was the first church that really supported me in me wanting to do what I wanted to do in ministry. And throughout this time, throughout the 5 years, I've really felt so supported in that aspect. And so that's something I'd like to say off the bat. But the one thing that really came to my mind that I'd like to share is about how Cross has really grown and really been a place of safety for me. I don't know if you guys know, but I actually met my boyfriend that I have right now 5 years ago in a class. And yeah, I just had to throw that out there. No, I'm just kidding. It relates to the story. And in that class, we prayed for one another. We spent some time praying for one another. And then we kind of, you could share. Like, did you, you know, through that prayer, did you sense anything or want to say anything to that person through the Holy Spirit? And I remember he said something. He was like the only person who said something to me. And he said, I just sense fog. And I was like, fog? What does this guy know about me? Why did fog? I'm not in a fog. And then the professor was like, I sense the same thing. And I was like, because I really like that professor. So it wasn't even something I consciously tried to remember, just something that I remembered. And looking back, I realized in that time I really was in a fog. I think that at that point in my life, 5 years ago, there was a lot about myself that I didn't want to know, that I didn't want to look into, that was scary for me to look into. And I think maybe rightly so, I shouldn't have, because maybe I wasn't prepared. But since those 5 years, because I think of Cross, this place being a safe place, a place where people listen without judgment, people would hear me out, and maybe they didn't have the perfect things to say, but they were willing to try. I feel like I really opened up, and there are countless things that people have done that have just made me feel this way. And I don't know how many of you guys know too, but I was in therapy for 2 years at Talbot. They have a therapy program. And I discovered a lot about myself and my past. And as some of you guys know, some of it was pretty bad. And you guys were willing to listen to me. And I remember one time just calling Pastor Sam. I told you I was going to say this. Calling Pastor Sam. I was at school, and I just couldn't go in. And I was in the car crying. And he just sat there and listened to me. And I remember being able to talk to Hannah about just our families and feeling understood, and being able to tell my small group, I mean, you know, you, so many things, and just being able to see how you guys wanted to reach out and care for me, and I did feel that care, whether or not, you know, you knew it, I felt it. And so I think God has really been working in this community, and I have experienced this, but I know that others have too. God has really been working, I think, to make this community a safe place. A place where people can come and feel like they belong, feel accepted, no matter what, you know, whether you got things together or whether you're kind of a mess. And I know that because I was kind of a mess. And Pastor Jenna, of course, you know, was really with me through that time. See, this is why I needed my notes. You were in there. But you know, as my mentor, you know, he was really there for me and led me through the fog. I think sometimes I didn't like it, but I think now if I had that class again with Steve, he would say there's no more fog, because I think Cross has dissipated that. But yeah, that's something I really, really see how God has been working is just that we can be real and open and kind of a mess with each other. And that's just wonderful. So, thank you.
All right. Anybody else feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your hearts? Holy Spirit prompting. Anybody? It could be short, even from where you're sitting. Just brief. you say a little bit louder for the people in the back?
Church, so. Yeah, I mean, we've been, whoops, whoa. I guess, you know, we've been in this church for about 3 years now, so we now call this church our home church. Mm-hmm. And some of you may remember that I initially said, like, well, how do you like California, you know? And back then I said, you know, I feel like I'm still an outsider in this church, and I think that has definitely gone away, and I feel like I'm really part of this community. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm so encouraged by all of these things. Anybody else? Real quick. Three, two. Now you want to say something? You're looking at me. No? A little bit. Yeah. You want to say something?
I guess I'll just kind of go up. I don't know why I was thinking this, but I was thinking of back when I was in culinary school, and there was like a few, I think, chefs that they were doing something, and even though I had an untrained eye, I was thinking, okay, that doesn't look right. So kind of related to that is I feel like, you know, where Cross is headed, even though the future is uncertain at this point, I feel like there's something right about what we're doing. And so, you know, I've definitely learned a lot for the past 5 years. And just like what Kayla said, I think a lot of my faith and, you know, just the kind of person that I am, being at Cross has shaped that a lot. And so thank you guys, you know, for just being here and just being part of Cross.
Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to ask you guys to share your stories with one another. It's been such an encouragement to hear these stories from all of you guys. Thank you so much for sharing. Hopefully you guys will continue to share outside as well as we eat. There's a lot of food. Ask people how the things that they brought relate to their name if you can't make the obvious connection. I think some of it's interesting, some of it's fun, and some of it will be their own personal justification. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Hang out. We want to hang out today. Hopefully you set apart the next couple of hours to just relax, eat, participate in fun games or whatever else. And so let's stop this part, and we'll transition over into the next part. So I'll pray here, and we'll move on to the next part. So thanks again to all the people who share. Thank you. God, you are so faithful to us. You have led us. You have led us. And you are leading us. And you will lead us. May our trust in you not waver. May our trust in you be continual. May we learn to trust you fully. May we learn to trust you completely. May we learn to just see how you are working. And thank you for using all of these testimonies to open up our eyes to see how you are doing work here. Thank you. We are so blessed. We're so blessed. Pray in Jesus' name. Now, would you stand with me to receive your benediction? May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.